God, that you be with us here today and truly bless us. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.
Okay. Am I on? Yeah, I am. Hey, Abby. What is music? Does it have power? It absolutely has power. Can it set the mood and the tone of someone's life? Music? Absolutely. Trying to think of some other good questions to ask you about music. I was sitting here thinking about it, and I'm going to get in trouble saying this, but as I look at Scripture, and many times in Scripture it talks about the music director, and especially in the book of Psalms, and we've been reading some of the Psalms, but the music director does this, the music director does that, and whatnot. And so in some respects, Abby, you're more important in the church than I am. Yeah, you know, because you're leading us in worship. And what are we worshiping? We're worshiping God. And the part of music, especially in worship, is to get us focused on and to get us focused up to God, right? So, okay, give me another example of this. How many of you went to church camp? Okay. How many of you went to a church camp without music? Okay. How many of you remember being at church camp, sitting around the fire? You remember that? You're sitting around the fire and somebody comes out, usually with a guitar, and they start playing a guitar and you start singing. Remember that? Remember that? Okay, so tell me some of the songs. Tell me the song. Give me a few of them. They were singing Amazing Grace. Okay, another one. What? Kumbaya. Kumbaya, that's the big one. Okay, for all of us who were together last night, we sang Kumbaya. You had to sing Kumbaya. Okay, another one. Any Methodists in here? Any you're a Methodist? What? Oh, you were, yeah, okay. Any former United Methodists? Okay, there was one in the 1970s and 80s that we sang at every one of these. Anybody know what it was? It Only Takes a Spark, and that was one of them. We always sing, It Only Takes a Spark to Get the Fire Going, and you're sitting around the fire, and you're crying, you know, and everything else you're supposed to be doing, because it's usually last night, and you're going to miss all of your friends, and who remembers that? Yeah, okay. And I'm a firm believer that music set the tone. Music set the tone. Now, how important is music? So important that God saw it important to put a whole hymn book in the Bible. And where's the hymn book? Anybody know? In the middle. That is true. Where? And what's it called? The book of Psalms. That's a hymn book. Now, what's interesting about the book of Psalms is most of them, not all of them, most of the Psalms were focusing on God and praising God. Now, there were some Psalms that said, oh, my enemy's coming, the world's coming to an end. And normally, the psalmist, mostly David, he would turn around and say, but yet I will still praise you. I mean, that was always in there. Now, there are some psalms, like Psalm 88, there's nothing in there. I mean, there's nothing about praising God. I mean, it's like the world's coming to an end. And that's what he kind of focused on that. But most of the psalms, there was always something in there where you praised God, okay? Now, with that in mind, the last psalm, Psalm 150, is the climactic psalm. It's like when everything was pulled together, you know? And so, if you go to Psalm 150, you'll see this, where the writer of the psalms writes this. He says, praise the Lord. Had to get that right, okay? Anybody know what that word, praise the Lord? What is another way to say it? Hallelujah. Okay, Halla, praise, Yah, God. Yah is short for God. So it would be similar to this, okay? So Polly gets up in the morning, looks at me, and says, "What a great husband you are, Darwin. Holla, Darwin." Nancy is just sitting here going, "Oh my goodness, how could Polly marry someone like that?" Anyway, but holla, Darwin, or holla, Polly. But Yah is who it's directed to. So it's hallelujah is praise be to God. And we see that. So the direct translation would be hallelujah, hallelujah in his sanctuary, hallelujah in his mighty heavens, and then praise him for his acts of power, praise him for his surpassing greatness, praise him with the sound of trumpet. Anybody ever been in a worship service where they got trumpets? Isn't that great? Oh, man, we went to South America one time and to Ecuador, and of course that's Spanish, and we went to a worship service, and they brought the trumpets out, and I'm going, whoa, this is pretty neat. So praise him with the trumpets, praise him, why? Praise him for his harps and lyre, praise him with the timbrel and dancing. There's a lot I can say about dancing. Do you know dancing's okay? It's in the Bible. It's what you do with it that's the problem, just like anything else. I mean, do you know that there's music that you praise God with? And you also know there's music that you don't praise God with? Music, I started this out with Abby because music is powerful. And during this sermon preparation, I was reading articles about people who committed suicide, and they're because there was one song that they listened to over and over and over again that was about suicide. So eventually they killed themselves. See, music is a very powerful thing. I had a friend that lived up in Van Wert County, and this is 30-some-odd years ago, so many years ago. And he had a friend that was killed in an auto accident. And remember the 8-track tapes? The old 8-track tapes for your younger ones? Ask your parents. And had an old 8-track tape, and when the fire department got there, Grover Hill Fire Department got there, the car was smashed up against a tree. The guy was dead in it. And this is what he was playing, because the 8-track tapes a little bit differently. And so it kept playing the same words over and over again. AC/DC's, "I'm on the highway to hell. I'm on the highway to hell." And it goes, "I'm on the highway to hell. I'm on the highway to hell." You talk about spooky. But that's what the guy was listening to. It's a very powerful thing. And so harp and lyre with and dancing, the same thing. Praise him with strings and pipe. Praise him with the clash of cymbals. Praise him with the resounding cymbals. Let everything that have breath praise the Lord. And then it stops. It says, "Praise the Lord." No, it says, "And praise the Lord." And then it stops and everybody goes home. That's literally how this psalm goes. It's a crescendo. Bye. I have a video I want to show you. And it's actually Psalms 150 being sung by Jewish Hebrew musicians. And I did some editing on it because it's like a 5-minute song, but it's about 2 minutes. And I want you to just to see the power of this psalm. Thank you. about you, but sometimes I just watch people's faces when music's being played. And there's something refreshing about the musicians, especially when they're praising God. I mean, you can just see the expression on their face. I was looking at this one gal that was on this corner, and she just beamed. She just beamed. You see, when we fulfill what God has established for us to do, and God created us to praise Him and to serve Him, and when we do what God wants to do, it does change us. It changes us, and you'll see that in people's faces. And because, like I said, the face is the gateway to what's going on in someone's life. You know, and that's so refreshing, especially now. If you notice what's happening in the world, the anger and the bitterness and the hatred's there. And yet, you can come to the church, and this is a place where we can get refocused on what God wants us to do, which is our purpose is to praise the Lord. So I want to look at Psalm 150 today, and I want to look at some principles that are so important. The first one is this. When we come to worship, and when we worship, here's the key. Worship is not about me, it's about Him. Worship is not about me, it's about Thee. Do you hear that? That is so important. When churches usually go through a trial time because of worship styles and whatever else, I've never heard anyone ever say, boy, I wish we could sing these songs because these songs point to Jesus more. It's usually of, I don't know the songs, or I wish that they would sing some of the songs that I know. And what does that mean? Notice what it says, that I know. It's about me. No, worship is not about you, it's about Jesus. And when we come together on a Sunday morning, we come to give an offering to God. An offering to Jesus. That's what it is. And so and our job is to focus on Him. It is not about me. So that's where you get the hallelujah. Praise Jesus. Not praise Darwin. Not praise Polly. Not praise anyone else. It is hallelujah. Yah, God. And part of worship is focusing 100% upon God. See, there are things that don't mix. You know that. Oil and water don't mix. An open fire and gasoline don't mix. Alcohol and driving don't mix. Worship and what I want does not mix. And so our job as the church, as individuals, when we come into worship, is to somehow cast ourselves off and get focused on God. Romans chapter 12, Paul says, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How do you renew your mind? One of the ways you renew your mind is worship and music. When I have something very bad I don't want to deal with, okay, and I know I have an appointment or something like that, and I just do not want to do it, Polly will normally see me going into my office or going home or something like that, and I will turn music on just to soothe me, just to get me focused. And I've done that a number of times where it's music, but it's not, it is Jesus' music is what I'm focused on. So it says we're to offer our bodies a living sacrifice, and we are not to conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is. And that, to me, is a warning to the churches, to individual Christians, but also churches. Because many times we as the church says, in order to attract more people, we need to be more like the world. Absolutely, positively not. We need to be focused on what Jesus wants. Yes, we do take some styles that come from the world. I was thinking about it the other day. Yesterday when I came in here for the graduation party for Emma. And I was looking at this new projecting system. Do you remember when we first, the projecting systems first started about 20 some odd years ago, and this big box came in, you could barely see it and everything else, and how that's changed? And I think about that because here we brought that into the church. Does that mean it's wrong? No. but we didn't bring some of the stuff that the world wants us to bring on to project up there. So we can take some of the tools and use them to enhance our worship, but we don't conform our worship. Okay? And there's more I can talk about that, but I'm going to be careful. But anyway, there's three barriers. Or let me get back to this. Here's some of the words that talk about the not conforming, but transforming. Some words we don't talk about in the church too much anymore. The first one is consecrate, where we consecrate ourselves unto God, meaning that we have given ourselves over to God. A good way to describe it is when you get married, okay? When you get married and she comes down the aisle and you say, I do, what happens? She then consecrates herself unto him, and she yields herself unto him as he is to yield to her as well. But you consecrate unto each other. The problem we're seeing in some of our marriages today is people are going into the marriages saying, well, you know what, I'm not going to give all of myself. They can have part of me, but not all of me. No, when you get married, it's all. It's 100%. Okay, making Jesus Lord of your life. What does that mean? It means I live my life his way and not my way. It means taking up your cross and following him means you're willing to die to yourself. It doesn't mean you actually kill yourself, but it does mean that Darwin is not alive, Jesus is alive in Darwin. Okay? The next one is dying to self and yielding to the Spirit. All are focused on Jesus. But yet in worship, there's three areas there that we struggle with. And I think the reason why we struggle with is this: fear, confusion, and pride. It kind of sounds like the coronavirus right now, doesn't it? Fear, confusion, and pride. Okay, so you got fear, confusion, and pride. I don't understand how much God loves me, or maybe I'm afraid of God. How can God love me? How can God accept my worship when I've sinned this past week? Or maybe confusion. I don't know what true surrender actually is. Or maybe pride. I don't want anybody telling me what to do. Don't you dare tell me what to do. If there's one thing that the United States is really struggling with right now, it's the issue of pride. You know that. We don't want anybody telling us what to do. How dare you tell me I have to do this? But that's, well, there's more I can say. But that also goes into the church. You know that. Don't tell me what to do in the church. Really? It's not about you, it's about Jesus. There's a man named Neil Martin, a member of the British Parliament, that once was giving a group of his constituent a guided tour of the House of Parliament. If you remember, if you look at anything from Europe, I mean, everything's all pomp and circumstance, a lot of uniforms and stuff. And during that course of the visit, a group happened to meet Lord Hailsman, the Lord Chancellor, who wearing all the regalia of his office. So Neil Martin brings all these people in and giving a tour, and his friend, Lord Chancellor, comes in with all of his regalia and everything else. And so Lord Chancellor, or Lord Hailsman, looks and sees Neil Martin and his group, and he hadn't seen him for a while, and Neil and Lord Hailsman cried out, Neil! And the whole group didn't know what to do, so they got on their knees. You know what? You guys got this better in the first service. First service didn't even get it. But we don't like being told what to do. But we are to sacrifice our bodies and our whole self to him. So we are to praise him, hallelujah. Yah meaning Lord. We give him praise, him honor. It's not about us. So then the psalm goes into it, and it starts talking about where we are to praise him, how we are to praise him, who we are to praise, and everything else. So the first one is this: where are we to praise God? Anywhere. In the holy place, we are called to worship him, and In God's creation, we worship. Psalm 8, one of my favorite psalms, says, "When I looked at your heavens and the works of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, the son of man that you care for him?" So his sanctuary that he built, creation. I think that's one reason why, especially in the country, country folk are a little bit more religious than city folk. And I'm not considering Salina a city. Okay, I'm talking about Toledo, Fort Wayne, or something like that. But I think one of the reasons why we might be more religious-minded is because we are in God's sanctuary all the time. And we see God's creation. I remember when the first night that we moved into Salina from Findlay, and I still remember this, I walked outside, and I said, "Polly, come here!" And she comes running down. She goes, "What?" I said, "Listen." She goes, "I don't hear nothing." I said, "Exactly." You have to understand where I came from. We were on the path, the main drag between the EMS, EMS and fire and everything else. We had sirens all the time. We had a train track over here, and we had the I-75 over here. There was no such things as quiet. But we also worship him with our bodies. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16, it says, "Your bodies are a living sacrifice." Oh, no, I'm sorry. "Don't you know that, do you yourselves not know that you're God's sacrifice, sanctuary?" Boy, I can't get that out. It's not sacrifice. That was Romans. You're God's sanctuary. God's Spirit lives in you. That's the neat part about Christians and Christianity. We don't need a priest anymore. We can have a personal relationship with God all over again. And God can use us, and we're his sanctuary. Now, if you want to see some of the most beautiful and magnificence of God's creation, you want to see it? Here we go. Everybody ready? Turn around and wave hi to somebody. That is God's creation. And you are God's sanctuary. And so you use your body in a way that brings honor and glory to the Lord. Now that's the hard part, because we have that selfishness in us. But it's about him and not about us. And so therefore we sacrifice ourselves for the sake of the Lord. We usually find out that it's a better life anyway. Okay, so where do we praise him? Everywhere. But I forgot about two things. We also praise him where? In the building that has been set aside for us to worship him. Okay? Where do we worship him? In God's sanctuary that the people of Mount Tabor have built in honor of God, and a place where we can gather together for worship. That's important. The Bible is very specific about coming together for worship. Then there's another place we're going to worship him. Anybody know where that's at? Notice the wording that I said. There's a place where we are going to worship him. Heaven. Heaven. You know, when I do funerals, they're fascinating to listen to people. And it's not a time, funerals are not a time to correct major, or it's not a time to correct theological fallacies that are out there, unless they're really bad. But you know, the Bible says that we're going to gather together someday, and we're going to be in the presence of Almighty God, and we're going to be worshiping him. There's nowhere in the Bible that says there's going to be a great golden pond on in heaven that we're going to go fishing or have a great garden or anything like that. It's not there. It is a place where we come together and we worship, and we are going to worship God. We know in Isaiah chapter 6, you saw the cherubim and the seraphim that are praising God, proclaiming his holiness. In Revelation chapter 4, we see the same thing, where they're proclaiming his holiness. Guess what we're going to be doing in heaven? We're not going to be fishing. We're not going to be doing things that we want. We're going to be praising him. Why are we going to be praising him? Because we're going to see him face to face. Sin is going to be no more, and we're going to be in the presence of Almighty God, and we're going to recognize and realize where we were headed, because of our sinfulness, and then we're going to see what God has done for us, and we're going to fully understand the greatness of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, and we're going to be able to do nothing but praise him. That's what we're going to be doing. The Bible says that you're not going to be married in heaven. So you, technically when people say, well, they're with Darwin's with Polly now forever and ever. No, I'm with Jesus now forever and ever. Polly will be there, and we might say hi to each other. We might say, hey, a great couple years on earth, but let me tell you something. I'm in the presence of Jesus right now. That's what worship is going to be like in heaven. We also know that the psalmist says why we praise him. We praise him for his mighty deeds. Mighty deeds. Creation. Go out and look at it. Polly is having so much fun with the riding the bikes, because for some reason it just seems like the bike path this year is a lot greener than it normally is, and there's a lot more butterflies out there. And I tell you, I'm a zone person. You know, I go, boom, you know how it is? I'm a guy, boom, I'm in a zone. I'm riding my bike just straight ahead. And all of a sudden, Polly goes, Darwin, I have a heart attack. Wow, look at that bird. What bird? That one up there. I said, I can't see nothing. You know, I get back in my zone. Darwin, what? There's a purple flower there. Okay. She's looking at God's creation. Like I said, I'm a zone person. You should see me when I'm driving. She thinks I'm sleeping at the wheel. But we praise him for his mighty deeds. Look at creation. When we have a clear night, go outside and look at the Milky Way. Look at the creation that's there, and you're going to be able to do nothing but praise him. His sustaining power. I truly believe that if God were to turn his back on this earth, we would destroy ourselves within a day. I really believe that God is restraining power. You're saying, but everything's falling apart. God's restraining power is involved. But also, remember, why do we praise him? Because of our salvation. When you recognize just how great your sin was and the price to bring you back to God was, where God became man and spent time with us, where the almighty, all-powerful, all-knowing, ever-existent, always been here, always will be here, have been able to speak creation coming out of the words of his mouth, came to this earth and died and allowed himself to be beat to a pulp by us and died on the cross so that we no longer needed a priest, no longer needed anything else, but our sins were taken care of by the blood of the Lamb, you're going to be able to do nothing but praise him. So how do we praise him? With the trumpet. With the harp and the lyre. With the strings and the cymbals. Okay, who all was in band? Anybody in band? Okay, who played a trumpet in band? Anybody played trumpet? Man, that must not be a popular instrument anymore. Oh, you do? Okay. Because we didn't have any first service either. Okay, how many played the harp in the band? The lyre in the band. The lyre's a little bit of harp. Stringed instruments. Who plays stringed instruments? You got somebody back there? Anybody else? Your stringed instrument? Is that piano? That can be piano or guitar. Close enough. Violin. Okay. Violin. What?
Not in band.
Not in band. Okay. So, all right. Here comes a big one. Percussion. Percussion. There we go. We got the old percussion. I played the frumpet. Anybody know what a frumpet is? Somebody in the first service did, because they played it too. Anybody know what a frumpet is? Anybody play the French horn? The frumpet is the marching version of a French horn. So when I said frumpet, who was it? Newting, I think? Yeah, she, oh, I played it too. I said, really? You know what that is? It's a trumpet, but it's bigger. It looks bigger. So I played that. Okay, so all these things, cymbals, who played the cymbals? I had two people in the first service that played cymbals. Okay, so you have all these instruments. Now, the neat part is that these instruments can be used for the glory of God. You can use them for the glory of God or self, doesn't matter. But you had the trumpet, the harp, the lyre, the strings, the cymbals, and even dancing. Did you see the dancing that was happening up there? I love that dancing. There was nothing sensual about it or anything like that. It was just, they were just gyrating to the Lord, and they were just enjoying it. When I was at Fort Wayne Bible College, we had a gal from Hawaii that gave an offering of dance to the Lord during one of our worship services, and she did a, not a hula, you know, she wasn't doing it, but it's a, you know how the Polynesians dance. She was doing that before the Lord, and I thought, oh, that was so neat, and I'll never forget her doing that. But she stood up and said, this is a gift I've given to God. So worship, and you know, my son, David, I don't know if he's watching this or not, probably not, he's still in bed, he's in Los Angeles. But Polly got chastised for David dancing one time. What? Here's the whole story. So here's David. David's a lot like me, okay? He's like, he just can't sit still, okay? And so we were in worship one time, and David was, he was gyrating to the music. You know, he said, okay, life is good. You know, God loves you, so do I, you know. And Polly, being a good missionary church gal, puts her hand on David and says, calm down, calm down. Well, another lady behind her, did she smack you? Took a hymnal and went, boom. No? No, but she went up to Polly and she goes, don't ever hinder his worship. Don't ever hinder his worship. And she never forgot that. So now David gyrates every place he goes. I mean, and so dancing, that is an art form as well. So we praise him with everything that we have. Praise the Lord. And when it's focused on Jesus and focused on the Lord, man, I'm going to tell you, it is a wonderful thing to see. And it's a wonderful thing to see and to and just to watch the beauty and the purity that comes out of it. Now, let me get to some. John Sebastian Bach. Did you know that all of his music, he composed it, and at the beginning of his music, he always had JJ, and at the end of his music, he had SDG. At the beginning of his music, JJ, which means Jesus Java, not coffee, which means Jesus help me. And at the end of his music, he'd have SDG, Sola de Grata. Sola de Grata, which means to God be the glory. To God be the glory. By the way, just a quick note here. Do you know that music, when you're listening to the right type of music, muscle tension, it reduces muscle tension, increase self-esteem, decrease anxiety, enhances interpersonal relationship, increased motivation, and successful and safe emotional release. That's all part of music. Okay. So who praises him? Everything. Everything. Everything praises him. Before I die, there's one animal that I want to see. The blue whale. I really want to see that thing. You know, here's this whale whose heart is the size of a Volkswagen. And when the blue whale, it's over 100 feet long, weighs over 200 tons. Now, when a blue whale mother gives birth, the baby born is up to 3 tons and 25 feet long. You women are complaining about the babies you had. Ha, ha, ha. I'm digging a hole, aren't I? The baby gorges and gains 200 pounds each day. Wow. So here's this magnificent creature I'd love to see someday. And the day will come when everything will stop and everything will pause and everything will praise the Lord. I'm reminded of that scene on The Lion King, you know, when the king, was it Mufasa? He'd bring up Simba and holding him up and all the animals come around and they're all bowing and everything else. Okay, they're doing all that. That's what I picture. When everything stops and praises the Lord, everything, the blue whale stops, bows, does their thing, elephants and all this stuff, and we as human beings are praising him in words we can understand, even those who don't believe in Jesus and are atheists right now, I believe we're going to have to stop and praise him, because every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Now, they won't get the reward, but they're going to be begging in praise and worship. But a day's coming when there will be no more protests. There will be no more coronavirus. When all the old is taken away and the new has come in, and we're going to do absolutely nothing but praise him and give him praise and honor and glory, because he is worthy and it's due him. There's a story of a man who moved to Arizona and bought a desert house. And one of the Arizonian storms came of wind, and it just destroyed the house, and high winds, hail, and the property was soaked in rain. And at daybreak he came out and he saw the destruction that was there. It was a disaster, and the hail had beaten their garden to the ground, and there was nothing left. And he had his pickup that was seriously damaged and dented with all the dents, and the house was partially unroofed. And on top of all that, the hen house had blown away, leaving dead chickens scattered all over the yard. Everywhere was destruction and disaster. He then just dazed and wondered where he would start. And he saw something stirring under the pile of lumber, which had once been a hen house. And he moved it a little bit, and a rooster came out with no feathers and scratched up with the debris. And the rooster then got on top of the rubble, and he crowed as a rooster would. And he thought to himself, well, if he can do that, I guess I can too. We will worship the Lord. And then the psalm stops. At that point, they stop, and they're done. And they went home, just like they did there. Climax, stop. Symbols, done, bye. Let your worship be God-focused. Let it be through a sacrifice of who you are. Let it also be a sacrifice of praise. Also, we praise him for what he has done. We praise him for what he is going to do. And we praise him because, if nothing else, because he is God. Let us pray. So, Father, once again, we thank you for this chance to come and to worship you. The fact that our prayers go into your sanctuary in heaven, it's just a mind-boggling thing. So, Lord, I just pray that today, that we will cast off all of our concerns and that we will continue to praise you. And even this week, throughout the week, give us opportunity and time to stop just to say thank you. We praise you and honor you, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
Well, if you'll stand with us, we're going to close this service this morning a little differently than we normally do. Normally we sing a song that allows us to reflect and just in a kind of a prayerful mode. But this morning, based on Pastor's sermon, I love this song, "Let Everything That Has Breath Praise the Lord." There's no other song to end service with this morning, but to reflect on what pastors just preached on and remind us that there will be one day that we will all come together, and like he said, everything, even the big, huge blue whales, will stop and praise the Lord. So as we close this morning, just sing this out and in practice and anticipation for that day when Jesus comes again and we all stop, everything stops, and we all praise the Lord. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord, praise the Lord. With all of my heart, with all of my strength, with all that I have, I will sing. Let everything that has breath. One more time before we get into it, and just sing out this morning. Praise God this morning in this song.
Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. praise the Lord. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord, praise the Lord. With all of my heart, with all of my strength, with all that I have, I will sing. Let everything that has of mercy so deep I could never depart. Father, your wonders are endless. Open my eyes to believe. Awake my soul. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Let everything that has fire alive with the brilliance of love. Father, your wonders are endless. Open my eyes to believe. Awake my soul. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Let everything that has
continue to praise you, and may we continue to give you praise and honor and glory, for you are worthy to be praised. Be with us this week, and let us sacrifice ourselves totally in worship of you. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said, amen. God bless you all.
With thanksgiving on our lips, we enter your courts today.